Genesis, chapter 3. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord has made. He says to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You would not certainly die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and all desirable of gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. When the man and his wife heard sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust, and all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The woman said to the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." So Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweats of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work on the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Mark, if we go on to the first slide for the talk, then we can line up our first passage, because there's a whole load of passages we're going to look through. Matthew chapter 3, there you go, it's page 967. It's the first one that we're going to look at. If you want to open up there, have it ready. So we'll come to that in a bit. Our regular Sunday teaching, goes through the Bible in order. But today I'm teaching a Bible topic. The topic is God's judgment of us. This is an idea that comes up again and again. Perhaps it's something we might glance over and not really notice when it's mentioned in a Bible passage. The danger is that we might think we know what it means and we don't. So I know some of you who've come to the UK and settled here, you've experienced cultural clashes or language clashes. you know, things that people in London do or say, and you thought you knew what they were talking about, they didn't. So I mean, the easiest example I could think of was like coming to church. Before you came to church in London, you thought, yeah, church is a place you dance in. And then you got here in Dagenham Church, no dancing. Well, not really. Some of us swear a little. But so you know, what you're expecting was different. And it can happen with words that people use as well. And the problem is we might have that sort of misunderstanding with the Bible. We might think we know what a phrase means, what the judgment of God is, and we keep reading it, and actually we've not stopped to find out what it really means. Or it might be we just ignore it. You know, every time it comes up, just think, oh, yeah, that's something I don't really know about, but I don't need to understand. Well, we do need to understand. So what does God's judgment, what is that talking about when it's talked about in the Bible? Judgments by people happen all the time, don't they? So your work in school is marked by your school teacher. You are rated on Facebook Marketplace if you... That's the thing, isn't it? I'm so bad at technology. Facebook Marketplaces, I've got the right phrase. Yeah, yeah. You get ratings for how you sell things on that. You're looked at by the police as you walk down the street late at night. Are they going to stop and search you or not? They measure, they make an assessment. Your doctor measures your pulse and listens to your breathing. If you have a quarrel or argument with someone in your class or your family, your teacher or your parent, they decide, they judge who was the person at fault. So our lives are full of this experience of people measuring us or judging us. And it can be as well that how the official, the law system, how the courts work can affect what we think about God's judgment when we read it in the Bible. And it might affect it wrongly because human law is never going to be as good as God's law. The news is full at the moment, isn't it, about a big miscarriage of justice. What's that news story that's all over the news at the moment? The post office. And it's terrible, isn't it? People who were innocent have been convicted and fined or put in prison. It's terrible. In some countries, you get a different kind of treatment if you're a woman from if you're a man in the law system. Or if you're black rather than white. Or if you're Chinese rather than Malay. That's right, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Different systems. Judges in our world are often unfair. They might just do what the president wants them to do. Or they might seem to be amongst the rulers, you know, the people with power, and we can't trust them because the people with power are just trying to keep things the way they want it. So all of those things make it hard when we see the Bible mentions God's judgment. It makes it hard to understand what the Bible's talking about there. Grace, thank you for reading Genesis chapter 3. That shows us what the first human sin is, and we prayed through that in our one of our first prayers this morning, praying that we sin like Adam. Genesis chapter 3 shows us the first sin, and it also shows us God's judgment, the consequences that God then handed out to humans. God judgment there in that chapter. We won't go look at it again, but I just want to talk about a couple of features of it. It shows that it's not based on God's feeling. You know, wasn't it he just had a bad day? God had set the standard, given the command, and they broke the command. It's based on what they'd done, because God knows. When we're reading in the Bible about God's judgment in the book of Matthew, that's talking about a future day. Something has not yet happened when God will judge. And so we're going to look at a handful of statements in the book of Matthew to see what it says there. If you're using the pink sheets, it's not too late to take one from the entranceway of church. These pink sheets are a Bible plan for reading through the New Testament. So if you're following those, you've been reading Matthew for the last 3 weeks. Keep going. If you've fallen behind, don't worry. Start again tomorrow or this afternoon. Matthew is also what we're going through in our Sunday teaching series. So I thought, let's see what it says in Matthew about God's judgment. First passage we're going to look at, chapter 3, verse 11. So that's down at the bottom of the page, left-hand column. And this is John the Baptist talking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist's message here, amongst other things, he says, Jesus is going to judge. And that's what matters. Not how many friends you have on social media, not what the GCSE exam markers say about your work, not how much your family and friends think of you. Jesus is the judge. And John uses an illustration from farming. Jesus is like a farmer, and he's going to split out what's in his threshing floor. The waste material is going to go into a fire, a fierce fire that can't be put out. And then he will gather that valuable grain. That's his picture of the judge. Jesus is like a farmer separating out that material, some for the fire, some that is precious to him. Well, how does Jesus decide that measure? Let's look to the next passage. Next slide, please, Mark. Chapter 7. So turn over three pages, actually, because we're looking at chapter 7, verse 21. So page 972, Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. And what we see here, Jesus' judgment will surprise some people. Jesus' judgment will surprise some people. This is what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, to Jesus, not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, and when the Bible says that day, it's normally talking about judgment day. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is an amazing passage. Many people will say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, they're using the right words. They're saying, Jesus, you're the king. But that's not the measure Jesus will use. And miracles and prophecy won't make someone a member of God's family. Even driving out demons. So this is a surprise. These people say they're Christians. Lord, Lord, they say to him. They've done amazing things. They've felt and they've seen amazing things. Prophecy, that's speaking a message that seems to come from God. Miracles, actions that no one can explain apart from a superhuman power. They've felt and seen amazing things. Demons are evil spirits that can take over someone who's not a Christian. Can't take over a Christian. They can take over someone not a Christian. These people have sent the demons away. Jesus doesn't say to these people, oh, no, you didn't do any of that. Because they did do it. Can you believe what Jesus is saying here? Prophecy and miracles and driving out demons, those are not things that tell you that you belong in God's kingdom. If you think those things mean you will have life with the Father and with Jesus, he says you're wrong. He says to them, I never knew you. Jesus' judgment will surprise some people, won't it? And it'll surprise us, perhaps. There are people around us today, we think, wow, those are great Christians. They seem to care so much about God than me. They're excited about God. They cry when they sing. If only I had so much enthusiasm. They can speak in foreign languages that they've never learned. Speaking in tongues, they call it. Surely they are the ones that know God. Jesus will say to some of those people, I never knew you. Let's be careful. Let's not think if we mutter Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when we're praying, but somehow that makes us Christians or makes him hear us. Many will call me Lord, Lord. They'll use that name. Doesn't mean that they're one of my people. How do you know if you're really in the kingdom of heaven? It's if you do the will of my Father, Jesus says. So we need to be finding out, what is the will of the Father? Let's go to chapter 10. Mark, if you could have the next slide, please. So page 975, chapter 10. And I'm reading verse 14 and 15. So this is a section where Jesus is telling his disciples instructions for going out to spread the message. Mark chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So here Jesus teaching his messengers, his disciples, and he gives the measure of his judgment in verse 4. If they will not welcome you, my messengers, if they will not listen to your words, my message, what are they to shake the dust off their feet? That's an action, it's like a nonverbal communication, isn't it? It's a gesture that says your whole place is dirty, it's contagious. I don't want to be associated with you. And he mentions there Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a famous place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where a terrible judgment happened because of the wickedness of those people. So God has judged, he has punished people within the history of the world, but there's still the end punishment to come. So Sodom and Gomorrah, if they were bad enough to be wiped out by God in this life, what's it going to be like for them? And now Jesus says it's going to be even worse for people who ignore the apostles and their message. Do you see that? If it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah, God thought, that's so bad, I'm going to wipe them off the earth in this life. Wow, what a judgment they're going to get at the end. And Jesus says, no, people who don't listen to my messengers and my word, it will be even worse for them. That's his warning. So our future on the day of judgment, what does it depend on? How many people like us on social media? How much our friends approve of us? How well we've done in exams at school? Whether people know that we're generous to charity, it's how we react to Jesus that will decide that. And the messengers of Jesus have given us the message of Jesus in the New Testament. So we need to not just read it, but read it and take notice of it and respond to it. Next slide, please, Mark. Next passage is Matthew chapter 12. Another two pages on, page 978. Matthew chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 34. So it's on the left-hand side of the page there. And Jesus now is teaching to the religious leaders who are criticizing him. So Matthew chapter 12, beginning from verse 34 to 37. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. So Jesus saying here, he will judge everyone on our words. See that in verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment. This is for all humans. It's not just saying this is for the Christians. You know, you're all going to come into a tent with me and I'll do judgment there and everyone else will do their own thing. No, all people will be judged by King Jesus. Those who dislike him, those who ignore him, Those who say, yeah, he's interesting, but I don't really have time. And those who serve him and honor him. Everyone will have to give an account. And Jesus says we will have to give account. We will be measured by our words, verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. That's empty words means words you say without thinking, without really giving much thought to. Words you might say in the heat of the moment. Words you might say, oh, well, I didn't really mean that. But in truth, you did really mean it. You just wish you hadn't said it. God will judge us. Jesus will judge us on those because they show the truth of our heart. Last passage, I think, chapter 13. So turn one more page. It's on the next page over. 980. Verse 47. Jesus teaching his disciples here what it's like when God's at work in the world. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Okay, what are the kinds of fish in the story there? Good fish and bad fish. And what happens to them both? What happens to the bad fish? Yeah, they get thrown away. And what happens to the good fish? Someone who's not called Betty. Someone else. What happens to the good fish? Yeah, they get kept in baskets because they're valuable. A bit like the farmer picture that John the Baptist used. Push the chaff into a fire that can't be put out. Gather the grain up to save it. Chuck away the bad fish. Keep the good fish. Separation into two groups. Verse 49. I'll read the next couple of verses. Verse 49. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. And throw them, the wicked, into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Jesus saying that. It's a punishment for those who say no to God. For people who refuse Jesus, his messengers, and his message. A fire that will not be put out. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's only two groups. Jesus says, oh, there's people who've got it right, there's people who've got it wrong, and there's people who are in between and not sure. No, there's just two groups. I can say something to the parents here. If you love your children, you will pray and you will act to protect your children from this. Now, parents take great care, don't they, to teach their children to cross the road safely. They want to give them skills for life. This is the most serious thing to prepare your children for. Much more important, much better to be someone who wears a yellow high-vis jacket to work and be a Christian than someone who gets driven to work in a big car and wears a suit and is not a Christian. You know, in this life, that division seems to be all that matters. But when it comes to meeting Jesus and he judges, that's the judgment that really matters. So pray for your children. Can't make them Christians, but you can show them the way to be safe. So God's judgment, as Jesus taught it, it's going to be judgment by Jesus. It's going to surprise some people. It's going to be based on our attitude to his messengers and his message. He'll judge us on our words, and he will judge us into two groups. Well, what does this mean for us? Four quick lessons. Firstly, God cares about how we live. You know, it doesn't mean that you're, or sorry, this tells us that Trying to be a celebrity is not what really matters for you. Trying to be famous, trying to be impressive. It's not just the great and impressive moments in your life that matters. It's the small everyday things that God is looking at. Someone doing the housework to care for the family. That matters to God. Someone doing another job at work, you know, locking up the gate at the end of the day. That matters to God, that we do these things properly and do them well. How we act towards other humans that God has made, that matters. Whether it's the pupils in your class, the other passengers on the bus, or the people in your house. Second, if God cares and God measures, we should live according to God's measure, not human measures. I've said that several times. It's so easy, though, isn't it, to spend our lives thinking, what do the people around us think about us? Rather than thinking, what will please God? What does God want me to do in this tricky situation I'm in? Am I going to pray for him to help and try and do it his way? Or am I going to just try to please people? Third lesson. We can thank God that evil will be dealt with. Some injustices, you know, the post office injustice, hopefully that's getting dealt with, but many are not. And it might be people have done wrong against you that won't be dealt with. Yesterday, I was in the supermarket. It's just an extraordinary. Would you believe it? The man in front of me, his daughter had been murdered. And he was talking to the lady in front of me at the till who was serving him. His frustration that the court wasn't getting it sorted out. That is terrible. But God will sort all justice out. He will make sure that any evildoers will be punished, whether they're punished in this life by governments or not. So don't you try and sort it out. Don't you think, well, you know, this is the wrong has happened to me. I've got to get back at that person. The Bible says, leave it to God. He will sort out all true justice much better than you or I will. You know, we overreact, don't we? And we do it badly. We can trust him to do it rightly. And finally, number four, thank God that Jesus came to be a savior before he will return as judge. Thank God that Jesus came to save us before he comes back to judge. And we thought about that in those verses from Revelation, that the people who have overcome the accuser, Satan will accuse all of us for the wrong that we have done in our lives. But we can say the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus, means I'm forgiven. I am safe at judgment. On the handouts, you've got there's a summary of what I've said at the end on the back, on the second side of the sheet. Do take that away and read it. If you've got questions, please ask. We better not do questions now, but do please ask me afterwards. Okay. Let's have a moment to think through what we've heard from Jesus, and then I will pray. Lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that there is going to be a day of judgment, that people who have done terrible things in this life and seem to get away with it, that actually you will judge them. And we thank you that you've warned us about this so that we can be ready. Thank you so much that the Lord Jesus, who will do the judging, he has also come to be our Savior, to make us safe on Judgment Day by forgiving us. Please help us in today and in our week ahead to live our lives knowing that you are the judge. Please help us to stop worrying about what people around us think and to gladly find out what you want us to do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.